You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Marlins reporter Joe Fusaro as we wrap up the 2016 Miami Marlins season. Joe, obviously when we look back on this 2016 Marlins season years from now, one thing that's going to obviously stand out is the tragic way that it ended with Jose Fernandez's death and the ensuing events of that week with the team really coming together and D. Brown's home run and everything that kind of happened there, which is, you know, it's going to be a memory and it'll, I guess, also keep in our minds what Jose did during the season. And that was pretty remarkable because he really put himself back on the map as one of the aces in Major League Baseball. And that'll be our lasting memory of him, I think, is how well he pitched in 2016.
Yeah, Tim. The season, everything else kind of, just almost seems trivial. You know, they made so much progress as a team, showed they can contend, hung around as far as they could. They showed they were, a squad that was a little short on overall depth, but, and then they fell a bit short. And then, obviously, the tragedy, claimed the life of Jose Fernandez and two of his friends on September 25th. It's just going to kind of, cast this dark cloud over the season and, what could have been, and obviously the organization having to pick up the pieces, move forward. And, it's just going to be really, really tough. And yeah, Jose, 16-8, sub-3 ERA, set a single-season strikeout record, was leading the majors in strikeouts per nine. 24 years old, just kind of scratching the surface of what, who knows, maybe a Hall of Fame caliber career if health permitted. But certainly a special pitcher, a special player, touched so many people with his energy, with the fact that, being born in Cuba, coming to the United States, pitching in Miami, gaining U.S. citizenship, he just kind of did so much in his short life and how you get over this and remember, the players really, really, like you said, bonded together at the end, but it was almost unfair that final week to play, because you really weren't seeing full, completely focused effort, because how could you? I mean, they're attending services and funerals and then having to play the Mets and Nationals in between. And they did show tremendous resolve and showed their appreciation. And, as sad as it is, you kind of, the way I'll kind of look at it is kind of a celebration of Jose as well. And just all he did for baseball, South Florida, just the passion he played the game with and, the fun that he brought, the smiling faces, the fact that he always wanted to do for people, was always eager to sign autographs or, and just simply talking to people in between innings. And, I think we might have even touched on this in the past where, you look at him in the dugout in the ninth inning in a game he pitched or he didn't have to pitch and, the bases could be loaded in the tying run or winning run at third. And there's Jose just, focused, yet also having moments of just kind of laughing and joking around. He always kind of remembered it was a game, and as serious as it is and the stakes as high as they are, he always understood and always just loved playing baseball and loved pitching. And then the more you talk to his teammates, he equally loved being on that boat. So those were the two hugest passions in his life. And sadly, one part of it, the boat, is where his life ended in the waters. And it all goes back to Jose. I'm sure as we go into 17, there'll be a dedication to him. And, just seeing what this team can do in the aftermath of the worst disaster, the most devastating news ever to hit a individual season in Marlins history.
Yeah, and it makes it hard to think past it and remember all the other things that happened during the season. And there were a lot of bright spots for this Marlins team, certainly along the way, a lot of great performances, a lot of guys kind of growing as young ball players. And behind all of that was Don Mattingly in his first season as manager. And it seemed like Mattingly really, as far as this team goes, really set the tone right away in spring training, Joe, for what the goals were for this team, for what he thought this team needed to do and accomplish, and he really kept this team on an even keel through most of the season.
Yeah, you know, they bought in right away, and, you know, it kind of went to when they hired him, you know, shortly after, I don't know the exact month, but he, you know, he got hired after the Dodgers were eliminated within probably a week or so that move was made. But, you know, there was so much, you know, after the 15 season and how it ended and all that team went through, my biggest question was how they were going to kind of buy in and what was going to kind of be the mental state of their key players, Stanton, Yelich. At the time, you remember Jose Fernandez trade rumors were out there. 90% of them were very much overblown and not, you know, that factual, but it still created this tremendous distraction. And Mattingly, he went out to California, met with Stanton and Yelich and some other players based out west, and just kind of the first day of spring training, everyone was aboard. And you know, he just, you know, kept that focus that they are here to win, they are here to improve, and, you know, get the most out of everyone. And if you kind of look, if we just look at baseball, you know, you can't really neglect the year that Christian Yelich had. He was probably the team MVP, the most steady player all year, as well as Jose pitched, and his numbers look at the end. He had a lot of ups and downs. He wasn't consistent, so I couldn't, if you're just objectively looking at it, say that Jose was the MVP of the team, although he was certainly the best pitcher in terms of just being consistent, start to, you know, over 162. You know, the numbers clearly jumped out of you there, but Yelich kind of just made his mark that this guy is, you know, he got 21 homers, career high, 97 or 98 RBIs, you know, getting right there on the cusp of 100 RBIs. He had never hit more than 50-something. And, you know, just him just emerging as an all-star caliber player in a year where Stanton had a down year by his standards, dealt with injury as well. So, you know, when you're having Stanton being not performing the way he's expected to, and Justin Bour was showing real signs of promise, and then he got hurt on July 2nd and didn't return until September, you know, being without Bour and Stanton, Yelich really rose. And Ozuna was an all-star this year. He started, actually, because of injury in center field, but he really kind of tailed off in the second half. And the emergence of JT Realmuto around, you know, behind the plate as an elite catcher and a potential future All-Star as well. So, you know, you look at the years of especially Yelich, Realmuto, Martin Prado, you know, really stepping up and, you know, establishing himself as a leader. You'd probably have to say Yelich, Realmuto, and Prado were their three most consistent players day in, day out. And the bullpen, once again, they went another year without a complete game. So the bullpen had to get in there every day. And, you know, guys like A.J. Ramos reaching 40 saves and David Phelps in whatever role asked did a really good job. And Kyle Barraclough stepping up, you know, showing that he could be an eighth, ninth inning caliber guy as well. So, yeah, it's a really, really good foundation, not a ton of depth. And, you know, going in, you know, now they look for, you're not going to get an ace and you're not going to replace that player for all he is. But they're going to have to be one of those teams. You know, the Royals showed they can win it all without a true ace in 15, and the Marlins are going to have to kind of go that route because aces just don't come around too often. If you don't have one and you lose one the way the Marlins did, you're not going to just find that overnight.
You mentioned Stanton and his struggles, and he was hitting for power early in the season. The average wasn't there, and then it seemed like it started to click a bit after the All-Star break, and then he got hurt at maybe the worst time when he was really starting to hit well. But it seemed like even though it was a tough season for Stanton, it seemed like maybe he learned a lot about himself and about how to handle slumps and that sort of thing, and maybe he's a better player in 2017 because of it.
Well, Stanton said, you know, on the last day of the season when I spoke with him, he talked about how, the fact that he came back and played in September, we all know he was supposed to be done for the season, you know, with the injury on August 13th, and he is back in a pinch hit capacity on September 6th. And then he even started down the stretch, you know, several games back-to-back, going nine innings and playing right field. And he said that was really, really valuable for him, you know, to kind of get not in the season at 103 games, I think it was going to be, if he didn't play again after early August or mid-August. And, you know, just being on the field, because I think what really hurt him, he, like all hitters, you know, their timing mechanisms and their – and there are certain things they have to do that's only come with game experience and at-bats. And Stanton playing 74 or so games in 15 after breaking the hamate bone in his left hand wrist. And then, you know, the injury this year reducing him to low 100 until the injury. You know, he was just missing way, way too much time, you know, in you know, significant chunks of time. And that just kind of lends to entering a season in a slump, because you just haven't had the repetitions that your peers have had. So, yeah, he said that was important. And going into next year, he's going to certainly emerge as probably their most important player, because, you know, they're going to have to hit more. You know, they're probably not going to, you know, have the team ERA or whatever. You know, so they're going to need more productivity. And Stanton is certainly capable of being an MVP caliber player and give you that kind of impact. He's going to have to be the guy, clearly, that's going to have to step up next year.
This team was able to stay in the race through most of the season without having D. Gordon. A lot of that is because Derek Dietrich really stepped up big time when Gordon faced that suspension. But a full year of Gordon in 2017, when he came back late in 2016, Joe, he did seem like the same player, that the suspension didn't take a huge toll on his game. Do you expect Gordon to be that explosive top of the order guy who gets on base, steals bases, makes things happen, can hit for a high average? Should he be that for 150 games again in 2017?
Yeah, that remains to be seen, Tim. I mean, we don't know. I mean, yeah. He missed significant time, 80 games with the suspension, and he didn't have the great, you know, first half before that. And part of that, I believe, is he knew it was coming. And, you know, that clearly would weigh on a player, knowing that just a matter of time before you're suspended. So, you know, I think he has a lot to prove. You know, he has a real lot to prove. You know, he was an all-star, a batting champ in 15. He really could do no wrong, it seemed like, to Marlin fans, and, you know, really represented himself and the organization very well. And then he had to deal with, you know, something that really hits his credibility and affects his production. So, it's going to be hard to say. You know, he's going to have to show he's capable of, you know, being a 300 hitter again, and since he didn't reach that, and, you know, get on base and be a catalyst. You know, and, you know, he doesn't walk much, so he's got to find other ways to be impactful, and you know, foremost, and then exploit that speed and his defense. So, you know, he's a guy who, you know, you don't know, is it going to be the, you know, obviously, 15 was a career year, and he reached a really high number with that 333. So I'm not sure he's that player, but I'm not sure he's a 260 hitting player either. So, you know, so we're going to have to find out more about D. Gordon, maybe, you know, just getting the chance to just, you know, do his off-season program and, you know, learning from his mistake and being as ready as possible. It, you know, would be certainly a big boost for the Marlins if D. Gordon is an explosive leadoff hitter.
One of the big moments for this team this season was Ichiro Suzuki, who I think going into the season, there was a lot of question marks if he'd be able to get to that 3,000 mark. He needed a good number of hits to get there, but right away at the beginning of the season, he proved that he was going to be able to be a guy who could come off the bench and get hits. And when given a chance, he really piled them up quickly early. And that set the stage for him to be able to get to that huge milestone in his career. Any thoughts on whether or not we may see Ichiro back with the Marlins in 2017?
Yeah, you know, as we're taping this, the Marlins on Wednesday, we're doing this on Tuesday, they're having a kind of a season wrap press conference in Miami, and I anticipate that they announce the extension that they're going to pick up, the club option. They're going to pick that up for Ichiro for 17, and he will be back. You know, he was highly productive in that role. You know, they have to guard against overusing him. But as you know, he came into the year 65 hits shy of 3,000, and there was a concern, you know, if all three outfielders were healthy, and quite frankly, Ichiro didn't look very good in spring training. And not that, you know, you need to have the good numbers. You know, he just, the bat speed and all that other stuff just didn't look very good, and a lot of people wondered, you know, what's going to happen, you know, if this guy doesn't look like he can play, you know, and he ended up getting 95 hits, and he's 30 over 3,000 right now. So that, you know, whatever potential pressures of a milestone are gone for Ichiro, and he'll be 43 at the end of this month, and he'll be a Marlin in 17, and we'll see how much he still has to offer. And like you said, he was a great storyline, not just for the Marlins, but for baseball and international baseball, and, you know, his at-bats became an event. And you could just see the way it just energized the team, and he ran well. He topped what I believe 500 career stolen bases this year. He topped that number, and you know, just an exceptional player who's had this incredible career. For all the time he played in Japan, to come over here and then post numbers that, you know, Hall of Famers, you know, didn't even reach, you know, and playing here their whole career, and it makes you wonder if he had been here from day one, is he already at 4,000 hits? You know, it's wouldn't surprise me. You know, the guy's in remarkable shape. He knows exactly what to do to prepare, and you know, even, you know, you look at the last game or two of the season when we were in Washington, there was a little bit of weather issues, and you know, batting practice wasn't going on the field because of the weather, and Ichiro's out there doing whatever he needs to do in warm-ups, you know, either playing catch or, you know, stretching and running and getting his work in and always ready to play. And I know from a personal standpoint, it's a thrill to cover him and report about him. And I know fans share that appreciation by all the Ichiro shirts and all the ovations he gets every time he steps to bat.
So Ichiro will be back in 2017. Barry Bonds will not be back in 2017. The team announcing that they are parting ways with Bonds as far as the hitting coach goes for the Miami Marlins. Joe, it seemed like for a good amount of the season, things were good as far as Bonds and this team. Was that not necessarily true, or why is the team at this point deciding to go a different direction?
Well, Barry was a one-year deal, and there was always kind of a wait and see, and you know how he was going to handle the daily grind, and you know, as the season wore on, you just kind of sensed that the enthusiasm wasn't completely there, and I wasn't shocked by it, you know, that they're going to, you know, move in another direction. You know, the team hit well in terms of batting average, but they didn't score a lot of runs. And, you know, I think there was an element of preparation for the players' in-game adjustments. Don Mattingly frequently talked about that. It seemed like even if they had a game plan, they didn't really have a mid-game plan. And I think also the team is, you know, going to look a little more to analytics in preparation and in terms of, you know, the players relying on the data that's provided to them on hitting and approach and getting the job done that way. And most of the year, I mean, Frank Menichino had done most of the preparation anyway. You know, Barry, you know, kind of moved at his own pace. And, you know, obviously being a sounding board and all the knowledge he has great value. But in terms of the hands-on coaching, I'm not sure how much of that was going on. And as they look to go into next year, you know, like I said, he has a one-year deal. They just didn't want to go into bringing him back and getting another one-year deal or whatever. And I'm not even sure if Barry wanted to be back. You know, without him speaking, it's hard to know. I know there were stories a month ago that said yes, but a lot has changed, and including a player he was very affectionate with, and then Jose Fernandez not being around. It's, you know, things kind of changed at the end of the year.
All right, Joe. Well, we turn the page on 2016 for the Miami Marlins. Look ahead to what is sure to be a busy offseason, as for every team in Major League Baseball. For Joe Fusaro, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks for tuning in as we wrapped up the 2016 Miami Marlins season.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.